Welcome back to Plot Pit, the show where we forge fiction from fact and folklore. William Atkinson here in studio with
John LeMay.
And we have special guest, local author Larry Cedo. Larry, welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm retired several times. I was a pastor for about 54 years. And after the first time I retired, I started writing. I thought I was going to do something devotional, you know, religious in nature, and woke up with this idea about a parallel universe and started writing, and it just flowed. First book actually was combined with two books, and the publisher suggested that I break it in two for easier sale, and now I've published four. And I'm working on a fifth.
Nice.
And I've also written a book of stories about my son and his best friend when they were 10 years old, living in a small town in western Iowa. And they got into as much trouble as two kids could. They were almost like twins. They were only a few months apart in age, but I added a little bit of fantasy and fiction to their stories. It was fun to talk to them afterwards and get their take on it.
So your book titles, what are they?
Parallel Missions. The Journey Begins was the first one. Then Parallel Challenges, Parallel in Jeopardy, Parallel Promises, and the next one will be Parallel Potential.
And the one about your son and his friend was Me and Jesse, right?
Me and Jesse.
Okay.
And Me and Jesse, Me and Danny, you could correct them as much as you wanted, but they were still Me and.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
All right, John, in the pit today, what do we got?
We've got some great folklore and some facts to forge our fiction from. So a couple episodes back, we had Richard Polinelli on, and I was really excited to do The Mystery of Somerton Man with him. And the only problem with Richard was he was so good, we just did Somerton Man. And Richard came up with this whole storyline, and I didn't even get to use my storyline that I came up with. So, and maybe the same thing will happen with Larry. Maybe he'll get an idea, and we'll go off in a completely different direction, but we'll see.
All right. Yeah, Richard, if you're listening, you cracked it out of the park.
Yeah.
So Somerton rebooted. Let's begin the descent.
So Somerton Man, again, I'm just going to give a quick refresher because I'm sure we get a lot of people that don't listen to all our episodes. So Somerton Man, he's a John Doe, a dead body found on a beach in Australia, not washed up on the beach or anything like that. He wasn't drowned. He was just a literal dead body on the beach wearing a nice suit. It was December 1948. The place was Somerton Park Beach in Australia, hence the name Somerton Man. So the police couldn't really figure out how he had died because he had no wounds or injuries on his body. He just appeared to have dropped dead. He had blood in his stomach, which in the real world is probably an indication of poisoning, but we're going to go with he was a vampire. And actually, to that end, this is real too. This isn't me twerking it for the sake of the story. He really did have pointed teeth. He had a special condition. I can't remember the fancy scientific name for it, but it's basically where your eye teeth are right next to your two middle teeth. So he did have an unusual set of teeth that one could call vampire-like. He had his ears were kind of unusual as well. Not exactly bat-like, but they were bigger than normal. So, you know, I like the idea that he's a vampire. That's going to be my angle. But we've got some more real stuff before we get into the fiction. They found a paper. They found this little note in his pocket, and all it said was Tamam Shud, which was Persian for it is finished. They came from a 12th century book of poetry called the Rubaiyat from Omar Khayyam. Omar Khayyam was born in May of 1048, and he died in 1131, so that was the era he lived in. He wasn't really a poet, he was an astronomer and a mathematician. So it's kind of weird, you know, people don't know why this dead body had that one cryptic note in his pocket. And so I was, you know, that kind of put me on an Eastern tangent, and the same day I was reading about Somerton Man, I was reading about the mythical kingdom of Prester John. So what kicked off that mystery was a mysterious letter received in the year 1165, which was just a little ways after Omar Khayyam had passed away. So the mystery of the kingdom of Prester John began in the year 1165 upon the receipt of a mysterious letter from somewhere in East Asia. It was addressed to the Byzantine emperor, Manuel Comnenus, I think that's the name. And they translated this letter into a couple of different languages, and the basis of the letter that was somewhere in Eastern Asia, they weren't sure where, there was this kind of magical kingdom of Nestorian Christians ruled over by the man called Prester John. It was said that he was a descendant of one of the three wise men who had come to see the infant Jesus and brought him the gifts. And according to the letter, his mystical kingdom was under threat from an unknown enemy.
What fascinated me when I was reading some of the background on Prester is that he was living in a time near the Inquisitions in that period of time. And during that period of time, as a Nestorian, he was actually, would have been considered an atheist or someone who needed to be put through the Inquisitions, because the Nestorians basically said that Jesus was not both God and man, which is the incarnation. But they were saying that Mary was just an ordinary woman, therefore she could not have a child who was God. And therefore, there was that separation, and the Nestorians actually faded out of existence for a while. But they were also under persecution from the Western Church.
Yeah, now the Arian controversy, I think, is what you're referring there to. It started in 321 BC, or AD.
AD, yeah.
321 is when it started with Arius.
Right.
Culminated at the Council of Nicaea at 325 AD.
Right.
Okay. And something I find a little bit interesting about that is St. Nicholas was rumored to be there.
Yes.
And he walked across the floor and slapped Arius.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the Arian controversy caused quite the stir.
Very much
for about 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then at Council of Nicaea, they said Christ was God, was settled. Arius is basically excommunicated, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it comes back in 381 AD where they declare the Holy Spirit God as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, we move up to 930 AD with Ben Asher and the Masoretic text. And now we're coming into the mystical kingdom and the ancient Persian around the 12th century, so the 1100s.
That's all fascinating because I didn't know any of that. And Larry, that kind of ruins my image of a good Christian kingdom that now they don't really believe Jesus was God. And so we might change that for the story. I don't know.
We'll see. Might have to. But they still consider themselves Christians.
Yeah.
It was not a matter of
their
being opposed to what the others were saying. It's just that they disagreed.
Yeah, so the difference between the Church of Rome and Arius was around Christ is God. Arius was a bishop of the church, and he was arguing no, and they had, you know, this big council and everything. But the Arians, they ended up getting excommunicated. I think they ended up down in Turkey somewhere. And I could be wrong on the geographical mapping, but when he was excommunicated, he basically left. And they did consider themselves Christians, followers of Christ and Christ's teachings. They just didn't think that Christ himself was God.
Mm. So, okay.
Yeah. Good summary of that.
And you still have Arians today running around.
Oh, yes.
So this might be completely off tangent, and we'll end up having to edit a lot of it out, perhaps. Maybe we'll leave it in there for just general
response
and commentary on historical events, but there is still a large debate around whether or not Christ is God himself. You can get on YouTube and actually look up some of these. It's a subcurrent in Christianity.
Called Gnosticism.
Well, Gnosticism's a little different. Gnosticists, which are Christians, do tend to be of the mind that Christ was human.
Right.
Now, there's, I cannot remember the individual on YouTube. He's an Asian guy. He's a pastor. And he debated, I think it was James White, who is a big theologian out of Arizona, I think. And James White does a lot of debates with people who are King James onlyists and some of the other hot button topics now. in Christendom. And one of those is, was Christ human? Was, you know, is the Trinity a biblical or a fabrication ideology? So,
well, the interesting thing for me is the whole Nestorian element. It would be interesting to see how that fits in. It's obvious that this comes from somewhere. And I think that's part of the mythical or mystical part of dealing with Prester John. Prester John, the word Prester literally comes from the Greek word that is translated elder or now a priest. So he obviously picks that up somewhere in his background. So if he was either him or I would guess it was somebody of his relative who was one of the three magi, they went with a good reason. They didn't just take off for that part of the world. That kind of travel was a major, major thing. One of the mistakes that many people make is that there were only three magi. In a day like that, they would never travel with just three guys with a lot of treasure. They'd have had an entourage of probably 25 or 30.
Yeah, culturally speaking, that makes far more sense.
Yes.
So now that you bring that up, maybe we should just do a whole commentary show on the biblical text and some of their interesting bits. Yeah.
The real story of Christmas.
Yeah. But you brought up the fact that this was a long trip, right?
Yes.
Okay, if you go back to the Old Testament, one of the things that you'll find there is as Israel is entering the Holy Lands and they're on their age of conquest, right? Some of the local people decide, hey, it's better to make peace with these people, but we're going to have to do it in an underhanded manner. So that's when they get the moldy bread. And so they're faking as if they had been on a long journey, right? So, yeah, it's interesting that you bring that up.
Yeah.
And maybe this could be bonus content that if you weed it out, then there'd be like a little bonus track of extra commentary.
Maybe I'll tag it at the very end, you know, after the trailer. Hey, if you've listened this far, here's some interesting other stuff. Okay. All right, so back to Prester John. I'm not even sure where we left off. So the mystical kingdom.
So I know exactly where I'm going to take this story, but I don't want to do like finish out the whole episode. So how would you all connect the dead body on a beach in Australia in 1948 with the kingdom of Prester John that goes all the way back to like the 12th century?
Good question. I would say since he has some vampire looks, maybe he's not from this world. He's from outer space.
So 1948, that's not far off of the 47 mark of the incident of Roswell with the Day of Infamy there.
That was my thinking.
Right.
They may have dropped him off.
Good thought. That, so,
or he's the lone survivor. He hit the eject button, got out in the escape pod, right?
That could be.
Okay.
That'd be a good
one. The other two, the three. So we could go back to a three magi.
Right.
Okay. They're all in the spaceship. Three magi from outer space. Boy, we are really going on this one, aren't we? Okay. So we've got this spacecraft with three aliens. They're humanoid-esque. They have some interesting features, vampire-ish. Okay. And in 47, they have car trouble. Or craft trouble or whatever, they get trapped in the atmosphere. They're coming down. They have one functioning escape pod, right? Maybe he's like the head honcho of an ambassadoric, a diplomatic. That's the word I'm looking for. Okay. So maybe the one lone survivor, the Summerton man, is the head of the diplomatic mission to some other alien civilization that Earth just happens to be at the time in the middle between the trade lanes or something, which that would go along with all of the UFO sightings that we currently see. You know, like if our solar system is traveling through a major trade lane between two civilizations, right, then you would see lights in the sky as they're going by. So this guy in his entourage on this craft has car trouble, basically, and they hit the eject pod, but the only one of them works, and the other two crash in Roswell in 47. So the Somerton man landed on Earth, okay? Who knows
where? He's probably been floating around in space for a year. Because
caught in orbit.
Yeah, caught in orbit, 47.
Couldn't come in.
Caught in orbit, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Poor guy.
Or, okay, we could go down the hibernation route. So the craft is caught in a distant orbit of Earth. Not detectable. You've got World War II going on. These people have been hibernating, I don't know, for going back to 1200 AD, 1100 AD, right? That's when they got caught.
Mm-hmm.
So that could tie back to antiquity, right?
Oh, I know. Okay, I know what we're doing now.
Yeah.
So since they're the Nestorians, they're evil aliens, and they founded the Nestorian religion to take away from Christ's deification and God status. And it's like false ministry, and that's the aliens' agenda.
Oh.
And that's how they tie into the Nestorians who said
sense.
Jesus was just a man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the idea, though, of you mentioned that World War II is going on. It's toward the end of World War II.
Yeah, it was over by then,
These guys are having to decide, do we really want to go to a world like that?
Yeah, especially coming right off of the Holocaust.
Yes.
Okay, and then the March of Death in the Pacific Rim. Okay, and then we've got Hiroshima and Nagasaki, so we're entering the atomic age.
Nuclear age.
We have global conflict. We've got the rise of Marxism, communism, the tension and the start of the Cold War, which had already begun to escalate by 45. Mm-hmm. And 47, 48, we're dealing, or 46, 47, 48, somewhere in there, I think, was the Nuremberg trials when all of this was actually being, you know, investigated, right? And Soviet Russia is on the Security Council of the now newly created UN with rising tensions. We've got Korea coming up in the conflict there. There's a lot to play with the aliens coming in and kind of observing, are we really interested?
Yeah, yes, maybe the aliens, they were coming to aid Hitler, but they were late.
Or maybe they changed their mind.
Could be.
Oh.
I've always thought that. They were planning to help him win the war, and then saw the devastation he was creating.
That's an interesting idea, because you've got a lot of lore and, you know, stuff out there with Hitler being really deep into the occult, as well as having that Antarctic base and having. The Germans were far technologically superior.
Oh yes,
they had gotten the V2 rocket going. I think it was the V2, and then they had also gotten the first jet propulsion aircraft. Right? Mm-hmm. They were months away from an atomic bomb. We just happened to beat them to the punch because we got a couple of German scientists over on our side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a lot to play with there. They could have been, and a lot of people have theorized, had help from outside of the terrestrial systems.
There is a quote by Wernher von Braun that when someone asked where they got these ideas, he said something like, out there. So he was of the opinion that they had maybe extraterrestrial help in design.
Okay, so we have to tie this back over to the mystical kingdom in the 1100s.
I think that's a goner now. I think next episode, Larry's displaying a real interest in outer space. I've got some good stuff next episode where we could continue the alien thing into the 1970s. But I never get to put out my vampire idea.
Yes.
Everybody's always doing time travel and vampire, or time travel and aliens with Somerton Man. So I'm going to be like Richard. I'm just going to lay it out.
Okay.
This was my idea. Okay. Somerton Man, 1948. He's got the Persian language, Tamam Shud, you know, it is finished, note in his pocket. The Persians were the first civilization on Earth to come up with the vampire myth through the idea of Lilith, which we won't even open that can of worms, but some people know Lilith as Adam's alleged first wife before Eve that fled and became a demon and became the first vampire. So that ties into the Persians. So I'm thinking Somerton Man, because he's got blood in his stomach and he's got the sharp teeth, he was a vampire. And he died because he just sat out in the sun for whatever reason. And this note about his finish with the Persian writing. And oh yeah, I forgot to mention, Somerton Man also had a code in his jacket pocket on paper. It was a code nobody could break, and they thought he was like a wartime spy. So my idea, Somerton Man was a vampire trying to find the kingdom of Prester John. And in my version, we're not going to have the Nestorians be the ones who believe Christ was a man. They'll have a typical Christian belief in this version. So the vampire, he's found the hidden kingdom of Prester John. And that's the threat. You can't let the vampires find it. And my idea is, why do the vampires want to find it? Well, Prester John, being a descendant of one of the three magi, he has some sort of artifact from Christ. Maybe it's a piece of wood from Christ's cross he was crucified on or something. He has an artifact that can destroy the vampires forever. And that's why they want to find the kingdom of Prester John, which exists outside of time because it's kind of magical. And that's why Prester John would still be alive. And so basically it's a race against time for whoever our hero is to stop the vampires from getting to the kingdom of Prester John.
That makes sense.
My wheels are turning. I like it. I do. I don't know much about Lilith.
Oh, we're too late in the show for Lilith. Yeah, we'll save her for another time.
That's something I'm going to have to do some research on.
Oh, you'll enjoy that. That's a rabbit hole for sure.
Oh, a lot of these are. Okay, so we have two very different takes off of the Somerton Man and the mystical kingdom of John Prester, or Prester John, excuse me, trying to tie 1948 down to the 1100s AD, which through the rabbit hole of conversation, we managed to tie it all the way back to Christ and the Arian controversy.
Yes.
Quite the show today.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we really have a single story thread, though.
I think my single story worked.
Yeah, it worked.
Okay. Well, we have Larry Cito in studio today. Larry, thank you for showing up.
It's been fun to do it.
And give us the book titles one more time.
The first book is Parallel Missions, The Journey Begins. Actually, that's where this whole series starts, because the main characters meet a person from another parallel universe and agree to work with him, and they travel all over the world in special equipment and special ways. And then the second one is Parallel Challenge. They're challenged at every stop. A number of people want to stop them from bringing peace to the world. And the third one is Parallel in Jeopardy. It almost falls all apart, but they keep adding new members to their crew. And then Parallel Promises, which ends up with a promise. And then Parallel Potential is coming.
Very cool.
Someday.
Four out, fifth on the way. Yep. And then you had about your son and his
friend. One about my son, yeah, and his best friend, me and Jesse. It's fun reading. It's one that even the kids enjoy.
Very cool. Local author, Larry Cito.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent.
Appreciate it, John.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. It's always nice when we can have someone in studio.
Yeah, the whole tech situation and sound quality actually works out a lot better.
Yes.
All right, well, folks, William Atkinson here in studio.
John LeMay.
And
Larry Cito.
Thank you again for showing up in studio today and your time.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, folks, if you're interested in being on the program or having submissions for the show or feedback, send us an email, submissions@plotpit.com. You can catch us out on Twitter, @plotpit. Basically, all of our social media is @PlotPit on Instagram, YouTube as well. I know I've been teasing. That is coming. I promise. We're also starting a live Twitch stream show shortly. That's a lot of sh in that, but we will be doing some live shows on Twitch weekly, John, I think is our goal. We haven't quite nailed down schedule, but it is coming. So for now, folks, we hope you have a great day. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you around.